and you'd say, open up, and try to encourage them. Something's wrong when they're not eating. And you know, there's something wrong with the church when people don't open their Bibles or bring their Bibles. Why are we not eating and studying? So we're a Bible preaching church, and I hope you always bring your Bibles. I know people anymore are switching a little bit more to the electronic, but I really encourage you to still bring a paper copy and mark your Bible and follow along. I think it's a blessing to be able to do that. So take your Bibles this morning, and I want us to look at Psalm 139. We're going to read the first 12 verses. In a moment, we're going to stand, and we're going to read those responsively, which means I read the first, you read the second. When you come to a comma, give a little breath. When you come to a period, a little longer, but try to stay together. And as you're reading, and as I'm reading, try to absorb what it means. It's not just a reading exercise. It's an exercise in us getting our mind into the passage. So could we stand together, please, in Psalm 139. We're going to read 1 through 12. I'll take the first verse. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Together, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Lord Jesus, today we are a little bit tired in our minds and bodies from all the effort of Bible time and our jobs and all that put together. And yet, Lord, we come because we want you to speak to us, and we don't want it to be dull to our spirits and our senses. Would you enliven your word today and help me, Father, as I present, that you would take the words and through your spirit make them have the right application and the point that needs to be made in each individual heart. Lord, I ask for your help this morning, and Lord, may you speak to our hearts. And before I finish praying, would you personally now just ask God, speak to me. Ask him to really open up the word today to you. Now, Lord, we come a needy, hungry people. May you feed us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 139, as I've been studying it out, has a nickname. I didn't realize this. It's called actually the crown jewel of the Psalms. It is the psalm that speaks of the awesomeness of God. And I have to confess, as I put together the bulletin earlier in the week, I was not really focused on it in relationship to the message. But yet, we couldn't have sung a better handshaking song today. Oh, Lord, my God, how great thou art. This passage of Psalm 139 really magnifies the awesomeness of our God. And if you start out, you'll notice it starts out, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. This is the introduction to the passage. We find that God is an awesome God, and our God has searched us out. The word search there is the idea that God has penetrated past all the facade that we put on. Hey, you know, God knows you. I'm talking about the real you. He knows the real Richard Butts. Hey, we could present to everybody, I'm Mr. Spiritual, I'm Mr. Godly, I'm Mr. Pastor, I'm Mr. Deacon, I'm Mr. Whatever you want. But God has penetrated that veil that we have tried to make around ourselves, and he knows who we really are. And he's going to, in this passage of scripture, we're going to walk with the idea there. He's penetrated us. We know that our Lord really has found out every detail about us. When we're asleep, when we're awake, when we're with church people, when we're with other kinds of friends at work and at home, he has examined us. You ever go to the doctor and get an exam? Tell you the first time I went through a real exam, not just like, you know, this 10, 15 minutes. I mean a real exam. They prodded and pushed in places I'd never been prodded and pushed before. And they took x-rays and they did all kinds of stuff and they found out all about me. But you know, I wanted that. I submitted to that because I wanted to find out, do I have a heart problem? Do I have cancer? Do I have an issue in my body that needs to be taken care of? Because I wanted that doctor to be able to see and reveal it so it could be dealt with. This passage has that same spirit to it. God, you've examined me. And you know me better than myself. There's another passage of scripture in Jeremiah that says this, our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you know our heart can even deceive ourselves? We can think we're something that we're really not. But God has a way of even pulling away the deceptions of our own mind and heart and saying, you know what? You're filled with pride. You're a self-righteous hypocrite. Or whatever he might need to show us in our life, God has a way of being able to search right down to the core and the essence of who we are. And it says, God has searched me, and it says he has known me. God knows. And the idea is to know by seeing personally, firsthand. One of the things I've learned as a pastor, I'll give somebody a job to do. They'll know, pastor, I'm going to do something, set up these chairs or whatever. But I've also learned this. You better check on, did they really do it? Some people say, I'm going to set up the chairs. You go to the room and you send a class over. There's no chairs set up. So this idea, God has searched me and he knows by personal checking with his own eye. It's not just a report handed to God. God himself, not an angel report, not our report, not the pastor's report. God personally knows you. And he knows me. Firsthand observed. He's discerned. He's familiar. He is perceived. He understands me. Now, this psalm can be taken in application in two directions. It can be a very negative psalm if you're on one side of God, or it can be very positive. Depends how your relationship with who you really are. On the negative side, we'd say, you know what, I can't hide anything from God. God sees I was lying this week. God see me stole. I stole that thing. God saw. There's no hiding. But take the positive. You're never alone. And if you want God and you're right with God, praise God. I'm never going to be aside from him. Hey, but I'm never alone and I just lied. Yeah, there's two ways to take that, isn't there? Maybe another way we would take it, you can't run away from God. I don't care how fast or where you go, this psalm says you cannot run away from God. But let's take the positive. There's no place that God can't go with me and take care of me. I'm never outside of his reach. So, once again, a positive, negative. Another way of taking this psalm, that same idea, there's going to be a judgment day. And God knows. But let's take that positive. There's going to be a judgment day, and God knows what I have done. And there's going to be rewards and recognition for serving him. So it depends where I would relate in my spiritual life to this psalm. If I'm running from God and trying to hide my sin, this psalm is a bad wake-up call. But if I'm in the midst of a valley or I'm trying to serve God and it seems like things are pretty rough, it's super comforting to know my God's with me. So Psalm 139 is a great psalm in that sense. Let's look at verse 2, please. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Verse 2, thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest me afar off. The first thing we see here in these next few verses is God is all-knowing. We use that word with an O. He's omniscient. Say that with me. Omniscience. We have the three omnis of God. He's all-knowing, omniscient. He's all-present. That's omnipresent. And he's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. Our God is all-power. Nothing he can't do. Omniscient. He knows all things. Omnipresent. There's no place that God isn't and can't go. So here, these first few verses talk about the omniscience of our God. First, it says in verse 2, you know my downsittings and you know mine uprising. Thou understands my, you understand my thoughts afar off. Let's just examine that a little bit. God knows my downsitting. God knows what I'm like when I'm home and I'm down. When I go home, I don't want to be... I just sort of undress and I'm myself and I sit in my recliner and I'm laid back. God knows me there. He knows my down sitting. He knows me in my inner chambers of my house. But then it says, he knows me in my uprising. God knows me when I'm out in public. God sees me at work. God sees me at school. God sees me at church. God sees me at play. God sees me everywhere, whether I'm relaxing in the quietness of my personal place, God sees me. And also, another way of taking this, God sees me when I'm not doing so good. He sees my downfalls. God sees when I said I was going to do things for him and I'm lazy. God sees me when I have slipped up in my life and I've allowed some garbage and sin to sort of slip back. God sees my, but God also sees the good things in my life. God sees me reading my Bible. God sees me witnessing to somebody else of faith in Jesus Christ. God sees my downsittings, and God sees my uprisings. And if you'll notice in that verse, it also says that he understands my thoughts. Do you know, God knows our motives. A lot of Christians sometimes serve God because it's what expected, but it's not really in here. If I don't go today, I'm going to get a phone call from somebody. They're going to say, why weren't you in church? But I really don't want to be in church. I need to do this and this and this, and everybody expects it from me, but it's not really me. God knows my true motives. He knows my thoughts afar off. God understands exactly what makes me tick. And what I'm all about. Why did I go to church this morning? God knows why I got out of bed. He knows that I came because I wanted to be fed. He knows I came because I had to. And I tell you, in a lot of families, there are people on both sides of that equation. There's a strong individual that's sort of leading that family, and maybe there's a person in that family, it might be a father, a mother, or a teenager, that's sort of being drugged by the heels into church, you know? God knows our motives. God knows why you're here this morning. He sees afar off. And he knows what was in your heart and why you were doing. God knows the struggles you're going through. He knows that you were tempted and you overcame. He knows you've been thinking about doing something, but you haven't even done it yet. And he knows that you're on the edge. God knows your thoughts afar off and what you're going through. And you know, God cares. He's not just condemning. I like, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We like that verse. But verse 17, God sent his son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This psalm is not a condemnation psalm. It's an encouragement to you. God wants you to be rightly related to him. He wants you to be real. He wants your motives to be what they should be for him. God knows, and he sees all things. Look, if you will, please, at verse 3. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Now, my path would be the way God knows what I do. He compassed. The word compass means he knows. There circles around, and God's watching me. He sees me get up in the morning. He sees me go into the bathroom, get my shave and brush my teeth, take my shower, put my shoes in my clothes. He sees me eat my breakfast. He sees me drive through traffic. Beep, beep, you idiot. No, he sees everything. Yeah. Okay? God compassed my path. He sees my conversation at the water cooler. He sees how I talk to my boss. He sees how I treated my husband or how I treated my wife or how I treated my parents. God compassed my path. And he knows all about me. He knows my habits. He knows the good habits. He knows the bad habits. He knows my schedule. God knows all about me. There's never a place that he doesn't know about me. You know, this week, we took the evangelist, the Bible Time evangelist, over to the Katie Mills Mall. They needed to pick up a few things. And so we were walking around, and my wife went this way, and I went this way. And then I wanted to try to find my wife. And I thought, instead of calling her, I pulled out my phone, and some of you that have iPhones or whatever, there's a Find Me. And we've connected together. So I just went on there and I said, oh, she's right over there. I walk up behind her and I watch her for a little while. See, that's terrible. Well, she said I could. She had liked me, so I could do it. But you know, God is much more powerful than that. God knows what stores you wandered in and what stores you didn't wander in. You know, there's some stores in the mall while we're just sort of over there. There's some stores that probably Christians shouldn't go in. You went in there the first time and you didn't know it was a garbage place, but then you go back again. That's a different story, isn't it? Okay, God knows all about us. He compassed our path. If you look on in verse 4, I'm sorry, he's acquainted with all my ways. Verse 4, there is not a word in my tongue. Oh boy, this is getting hard, isn't it? God knows all my words. He knows what I said. But, oh Lord, thou knowest it altogether, my words. God says in the New Testament, out of the same mouth ought not to come blessing and cursing. Our old church buildings back in Spring Branch. We had a crazy thing happen. Somebody donated us a couple, two or three water fountains. So we thought we'd put in this one building more than one water fountain. And so here were the bathrooms. We had a water fountain on this side. You could walk around the other side. There was another water fountain. Well, the one water fountain that was the most obvious when you came in the door was right here. And I don't know what got into that water fountain, but, you know, they'd worked on it, and it had a taste like pipe dope in the water, you know, that garbage. You just have to run it for a while till it straightens out. Maybe that's what you had to do, Aaron, with that up there in the Southland. I don't know. But you had to get the taste out of it. But before we could get that taste out, people wanted to use it. And they'd come and go, ah! They would just spit it out. And then we eventually got the other water fountain installed on the other side. And from the very beginning, it was sweet. And so people would come in, and they would know about this water fountain. And they would walk all the way from this door, bypass this water fountain, and they would go to this other one because it was always consistently sweet. Boy, that really spoke to me. Out of the same water fountain, when people see cursing, they see garbage coming out as opposed to sweet. A Christian, can you imagine if we went to the water fountains here and one time it was sweet and next time it tasted like sewer water? I wouldn't want to drink out of it ever. And the Lord knows my mouth. He knows little kids we call it potty mouth, don't we? God knows we got potty mouth. God knows if I tell dirty stories. God tells, no, I have innuendos that are dark and dirty. God knows all that about me. He knows my word. He knows my gossip. Boy, if there's something we deal with in our life, it's saying stuff that we shouldn't be saying about people that we don't even know the truth about. God knows all about my gossip. God knows when I'm witnessing of him. God sees me telling somebody else Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for you. And if you'll receive him as your personal Savior, you can become part of the family of God today. God sees the words out of my mouth. God sees me as I say goodbye to my wife this morning. Boy, a lot of times we get in a rush and a push, and as we leave, maybe there's been a lot of little words said between us that shouldn't have been said. God saw that. God sees all of our words. He sees me tearing down. He sees me edifying. God sees it all. One of the things in our society, I'm just trying to get us something to relate to. It's really sort of concerning for us in society. It's not concerning God. But all the face recognition cameras. and recording devices that are everywhere in America. You know, criminals are a little worried about that, aren't they? They got a big criminal, and the FBI is trying to find him. You know what they do? They go to a great big stadium where there's 100,000 people at a football game, and they run facial recognition. Hey, there's the guy right there. And he's caught. If we could do that, just think how our God sees and hears every word that we say. Street corner cameras. You're standing just across the street, and here's a camera that's recording everything that you do. You walk into a bank, and they're tying all these things. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to give you the idea. God is so much more than that. Our God. Hey, you say, well, there's some places. Do you know Alexa? I know people that have just given up Alexa because they don't want what they say in private to be potentially put up somewhere. I hope that gets your attention. Our God is so much, knows so much more than that. He sees me in my bedroom. He saw me. He heard me. Every single thing. Look on, if you will, in verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Oh, God walks with us. You know, there's no place we go that God isn't there. He's omnipresent, isn't he? God walks in my, and he walks right there beside me. And if it's negative, boy, God, you know, he's watching. If it's positive, I'm never alone. God walks with his children like he did the children of Israel. It says that he was behind and before. Does that not bring back to mind the cloud that followed behind, the cloud that was before, and the pillar of fire? Our God, those were just outward symbols of God's presence. How the God was walking before and behind. And notice it says in verse 5, he's laid thine hand upon me. That means God's right. God is hands-on. God is not some far removed in a rocking chair with a long beard, looking down, and life is just rolling along, and he hopes it works out well. He started it. That is not the picture of this psalm. God is involved in your life, and he's walking with you, and he's talking with you, and he's looking at you, and he knows all things. Remember how the verse started? Verse 1, God has searched me, and he knows me. Wow, what a challenge for us. Look at verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. We could preach on that verse, but let's just say this. To understand this concept of an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God that's personally interactive in my life, we would say blows our mind. We can't quite grasp this concept of God. It's too lofty. And once again, as a Christian, to know that my God is concerned for me and he cares about me that intimately and he never, ever leaves me alone, how special. How encouraging. And when I'm living in sin, how convicting. It's too much for me to understand that my God will be pursuing me. And he cares about me when I'm messing up and not doing right. Look at verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? And here we bring in the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit convicts, doesn't he? You get ready to do something, you say, is God watching? I tell you, when I go to do something that I'm not supposed to do, I know the Holy Spirit's there because he says, don't. It's called conviction. You ever felt it? Went ahead and did it anyhow. Don't say amen, just say, oh me. Okay? Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? Let's take it in the positive way. Whither can I go on the face of the earth but that the Spirit's right there with me? What a nice thing to have a companion and a friend and a watch care. There's no place that I can go or flee to that the Holy Spirit says, I'm just not going there. He's going with us all the way. Where can I flee from thy presence? Where can I run from God? Notice in verse 7, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Here we find the high and low, the highest and loftiest places and the darkest places. The Lord is there. There are a lot of times people like to use this verse, Christians that go to war. Now, I have not been a soldier. I've never been in a battle. But I've sure talked to some people that you figure every moment of your life you could die. Bullets whizzing away, bombs rolling up around you, own personal hell. But people describe it like. And God is right there in that foxhole with you. So I'm not a soldier, Pastor, but have you ever felt, and I don't want to, you ever felt like you were in a little bit of a hell? Your life was in crisis. God's with us in the mountaintop and God's with us in the valley. And God knows the battles that we're going through, and he has not deserted us from the highs or the lows. Look at verse 9. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell on the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall lay hold on me. Notice here the wings of the morning. You can't get up early enough that God doesn't go with you. Since I've been exercising and doing extra things in my life, a lot of times I like to slip out really early in the morning, get out when, you know, really thinking time. And my wife used to always get up before me. Now I get up before her. I could slip out and get back in. And she says, I didn't hear you go. You're in the shower. She says, have you walked yet? I've already been up for an hour. You can't do that to God. Oh, I take the wings of the morning and think, well, maybe God doesn't up yet. God's up. The depths of the night. He's up. You ever had a problem at 2 o'clock in the morning? The darkest hour? God's up. God's there. In the midst of the sea, in the scripture, often the sea is pictured as life. By the way, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the glassy sea. God has smoothed out all the problems. But oh, I tell you what, the sea of life has got a lot of waves, doesn't it? And he's there. Do you remember the disciples in the New Testament? They're in the boat, and the water's going, and they're trying all their to get. And Jesus came walking on the water. He was another time sleeping in the bottom of the ship, and they're just worried to death. And they said, Jesus, get up and God, help us. This boat's going to sink. And he said, rebuke the wind. Whew. Behold, he's there. God is everywhere. Whether it would be in the farthest time or the farthest place, our God is there. Look at verse 9, verse 10. Even there shall thy hand, what? Lead me. That word lead means to govern. Straighten, to guide me. God can straighten out anything in my life. You ever figure out, I have no clue what to decide. Which direction do I go? Even thy hand shall lead thee. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, boy, are you reading my mail? I've got a great big decision. God will help you with your decision. He will lead you. Notice in that same verse, in verse 10, he says, and thy right hand shall hold me. Right hand refers to a hand of favor. God's hand is there in my life, and he favors me. You talk about making the difference. God is there to lead and guide and uphold me with that right hand of blessing. And I tell you, as you look back, many times you can say, I don't know how I made it through that sea. I don't know how I made it through that problem. But then when you go back and examine, you see the right hand of God has been there the whole time, guiding and lifting you up in your life. Isn't this a wonderful psalm? See why it's called the crown jewel of all the psalms? Look at verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light upon me. So here we find there's no place that God can't go and see. darkness. I can't hide from God. I can't escape from God. And there's no overwhelming darkness that can come upon me. So I can't run from God and pull the darkness over me. Do you know often people will wait till a dark corner to do their sin? Do you know what the next verse says? With God, the darkness and the light are alike. God doesn't need the light to know. Everywhere. My mom, years ago, went into a nursing home. It was the first couple days she was there. She had a roommate. Her roommate was almost completely blind. She could see little teeny shapes and movement, but she was for all purposes blind. And the first night, we brought her in the nursing home. We tried to give her some special little things. We got her some little treats from a special store that she liked. We were trying to help, you know, move through that hard time. And the next morning, we got up, and everything was gone. I thought, what in the world? Same thing, we replaced them. Next morning, they're gone. You know what happened? That blind lady at night was in special mode. She was just as good a day and night. It didn't matter to her. And she came over and cleaned out all that stuff and ate it all night. God doesn't have to have the light to see you. And God doesn't have to have the light to protect you. There is no darkness that God can't penetrate in your life, to whether see or reveal, or that it's going to overwhelm you. And then, God can't help me here. There is no darkness that can come over your life that God can't penetrate and deal with whatever is needed in your life. Look at verse 12, please. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Let's just stop there with the word reins. Reins is not a very common word anymore, but what it means, God knows what runs makes me tick. Do you know what the word reins literally means? God knows my kidneys. That's sort of disgusting. But they would often talk about my emotions and my thoughts. Do you know God knows your emotional state this morning? I think if there's something I hear as often as anything, somebody going through problems, I say, I think I'm going to lose my mind. God knows when you're in distress. You've been in distress recently? Don't raise your hand. Pressure from every which way? God knows. God knows my reins. He knows what's causing me to think. Unless I sort of tip on this, men are a little more logic-oriented, but ladies, we're emotional. Boy, sometimes I just don't know what to do and I'm so worked up. God knows. God knows how I'm feeling. I can't communicate it to anybody else, but God has penetrated my emotions, and he knows all about me. Thou hast possessed my ways, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And these next verses here are, to me, an important set of verses. It's sort of a side subject, but we will talk about it for a moment. God knew me before I was ever born. Look at that. It said he knew me in the womb. Hey, my oldest son and his wife just had a baby. Boy, it was a shocker. Christmas time, they're getting ready to graduate their oldest son, and all of a sudden my son's wife said, come here, sweetheart. We're going to have a baby. Merry Christmas. Well, it is a Merry Christmas after you get over the shock. Okay. That baby began to grow and began to feel the motions in the womb, and they began to take pictures and all the rest. And here about 2 weeks ago, Lexi was born, and she's come into our... But you know what? God watched it all intimately. He didn't need sonograms. God, from the moment that those two cells came together and they began to make a life, and that blueprint on their genetics, God was involved in all that. Do you believe that? How could we abort something like that? It is a life. God's given life. In America, we're guilty of over 50 million taking of life out of the womb. God saw that life. For thou hast possessed my reins and covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, the scientists still try to figure out, how does it happen? God made, those little cells begin to divide, and then they became specialized, and this group became hands, and this hand, this, and then it became fingers, and this became a kidney, and this became a heart, and this became lungs, and this became a brain, and this became the spine. How is that? It's too wonderful. And God was right there watching all that and involved with every single one of us. Our God is intimately involved. And we think we could run from him, or there's a place that he doesn't know about us. He's been with us from that very beginning. And you doubt that he can help you or he can pursue you now? My substance was not, verse 15, thy substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance. God, is a baby in a womb a baby? Yes! Oh, the horribleness of what happened in New York State when they passed a law that even after a baby's coming up out of the womb, that they still have the right to terminate that child, and half of the legislature stood up and applauded that. God was watching. What an awful thing. God sees. Just one more step on this. There will be a reckoning for those 50 million people. America's going to have a reckoning. We ought to be praying for God's mercy. Could you imagine if somebody dropped an atomic bomb and killed 50 million people anywhere in the world? The nations would come together. And yet that's what we've done in America. And you think God is going to do any less than that? Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book, God's book, the book of life, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. And when as yet there was none of them, before I ever was, God knew me. Can you imagine this? How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And you think about God's thoughts toward me. How great it is to know that I have a God that's that intimate, that knows about me. He understands my blueprint. He understands the very motives of my heart and how I got to where I am sitting here today. It's too precious to me to think that my God is able and cared. They're multiplied. The sum of them is beyond understanding. Verse 18, if I should count them, these thoughts, they are more in number than the sea, sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. That verse really spoke in my heart. We can talk about all the things we do during the day. We can talk about being in the womb. But do you know a time that we're all very vulnerable? It's the day that we lay down in our bed, and you'll do this tonight, and you'll close your eyes, and for the next 6 to 8, 9, instead of you're a teenager, 12 hours, God's going to watch over you even while you sleep. Just think about that. 8 hours, you are a total sitting duck. Your wife's mad enough, I should get a gun and shoot you. Somebody could break in your house and steal everything you got. I wake in the morning and God's still there. And he's kept me all night long. How close is death? One breath away, one heartbeat away. God has kept me even in my sleep. This is the God of Psalm 139. And this is our God that we know through faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've been running from God, you can't run from God. And he has pursued you to this auditorium today. And he says to you, I love you. But you've got to deal with your sin, because one day as a holy God, I can't let you in my heaven. So I sent my son to die for you on the cross. Come to me through him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and have everlasting life. God loves you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, everybody thinks I'm something, but I know, and God knows I'm not that. And yet God has pursued you to this auditorium this morning to say to you, come home. Come back to what you should be. I love you, and I'm a forgiving God, and I'm a merciful God, but come home. And God wants you to be back in his arms. Look, if you will, please, in verse 19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. I think that just makes it very clear that there's going to be a judgment day. And even though God loves me intimately and he's created me and brought me, he's still waiting for me to deal with my sin. God will have to deal with you and me. I've given my testimony hundreds of times. A young boy, I watched my grandfather die. It made me question, where am I going to go? And was presented with the gospel very clear. And at 7 years old, I wasn't the greatest theologian. I realized and understood Jesus is God who died in the place for me. He took my sin and laid it upon himself. And that day, by simple, literally childlike faith, I received Jesus Christ into my heart. Have you done so? God's pursuing you. He's knocking at your door again. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will answer me and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. This mighty God has pursued me and you. There's no place for a wicked man to flee. Verse 20, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Have you noticed how on the airwaves in the last 20 years, how there is no bars on the name of God anymore? Every wicked way you could take God's name in a negative way. You know, Christians, look at David. He says in verse 21, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? David's taking the stand on which side he's on here. We could focus on the word hate, but what he's saying here, God, I've decided that I want you. There are enemies of God and there are those that are his friends. David said, I'm on your side, God. Whose side are you on this morning? David said, I am 100% behind your name, you, salvation, your word, I'm on your side. And those that oppose you, God, I oppose. In our society today, we all just got to get along. Hey, we don't get along with those that hate our God. You understand what I'm saying? We're not trying to go out with guns and shooting. Don't make me go out of here and start shooting people, all right? But David had chosen sides, and there was no obfuscation. There was no hesitancy. There was no doubt on which side that he was on. Verse 22, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies because they are the enemy of God. The last two verses, David now sums up this way. He says, God, I give you an invitation. Search me again. I invite you to search me. Look at it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Here we find the idea of God searching him is the idea, once again, God, examine me personally, penetrate past even my own mind. God, I invite you to do that. And Christian, listen to me this morning. Person that maybe don't know Christ as your Savior, could I say to you, an invitation to our holy God to really examine us and give us an honest evaluation is healthy. And yet we flee from it. God begins to deal with us and he starts to reveal those things that are wanting, lacking in my life. We change a subject. A church where the word of God is preached strongly, people change churches. They don't want to hear a searching message that penetrates into their heart. But here David said, God, search me. Search me. Try me is the idea. Investigate me. Test me. Put some pressure on me. Prove me that I'm real. Show me who I am. Because I want to be real. Look at verse 24. And see if there be any wicked way in me. God, I want you to search me. I want you to try me. I want you to know me. And I want you to see if there's anything that needs to change in my life. And then he says at the end of verse 24, and lead me in the way of everlasting life. You know, there's two thoughts with that idea of lead me in the way of everlasting life. First, lead me to salvation. Could it be here this morning that you've come to this service and you're saying, I would like to really know God. Lord, lead me to yourself. The one thing that I've been reading the last years about the millennials. Millennials are quite skeptical about God and the Bible. But often they're quite honest. I would like to know if there is a God. And if they come to the conclusion that God is the God of this Bible, they are sometimes so much stronger than the people of my generation. Because they have seen what this psalmist has seen, and they have seen and they know God, and they say, that God is the God that I trust through his son Jesus Christ, and I will not be shaken. Perhaps you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I've been trying to figure out who God is and all the rest, and God has led you here to this psalm that he wrote all the hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and he's laid it out afresh for you in this generation, this millennial generation. He says, try me. Find that I'm real, that I'm involved in your life, that I created you, and I want to restore you unto myself. Lead me also has the idea that God guide me in my life. Guide me in everlasting life. Guide me in righteousness. Somebody prayed this morning. I don't remember what class it was, or maybe before church. Lord, help us to teach in true righteousness your righteousness. God, lead me in a way that's a godly way. Because maybe I just got the wrong idea about what's godly. And if you'll show me, that's the way I need. Listen, Christian, we ought to let God continually refine our understanding of what's right and wrong. And what the Word of God says. Lord, show me. Because I really want you to govern, guide my life. What a wonderful thing that he's saying. You know what David's doing here? He's trusting God. He's making himself vulnerable to God. God, try me. Look all the way down. You know, there have been times I've told people, I want to be a pastor that's real. I said, you can go home and search through my drawers if you want. You can go in my office. There's nothing there I'm ashamed of. Now, don't do it, please. But I really am not afraid for you to do it. Because I'm trying to be the real deal. Can I tell you something? Maybe there's somebody here this morning, you say, boy, to open my garage door, to open my trunk, to look underneath my mattress, to look at my computer, whoa. David says, search me. He made himself vulnerable. And you know what? Did David make a few mistakes in his life? Some doozies. But yet God entered into his life and guided him through it and out of it. Maybe you're here this morning as a Christian. You say, Pastor, God doesn't have to search me. I have messed up. God can lead you out. He can help you this morning. God wants to lead us to salvation. He wants to bring us to surrender. He wants to help us to have confidence on a moment-by-moment basis. He wants to teach us to serve him, but he wants to fellowship with us. What a wonderful song. Can you say to God, I'm not saying outwardly, but can you honestly say to God this morning,
Search me and try me. See if there's anything. Well, that's a big step.
Very honestly, sometimes people just don't want to do that because they don't want what God has. That's revealing. It should already be revealing to your heart. If that's your attitude, I don't want to hear it. Well, God brought you to a point to hear it this morning. He loves you. He's pursuing you. There's a hymn in our hymn book, and I'd like you just to take it, if you will, please. Turn to 353. It's written off of this psalm. For our song leader will come in a moment, please. 353. Let me read it before we sing it, please. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray. Can you see how this lifted right out of this psalm? See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill all my heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, myself, and pride. I now surrender. Lord, in me abide. As we sing this song this morning, if God has dealt with your heart and he's already searching your heart, I encourage you, if there's some things that need to be squared away with God, to come right here to the platform as a place of prayer and kneel and just say, God, I heard you've already talked to me about some things. Make things straight with God while he's dealing. I'll be standing right here. And if you say, I just need to find God and how to be saved, to become his child, I came searching for him today, I'd like to hook you up with somebody that knows the answers from the Bible. And they can pray with you and show you in the Word. And hopefully you can go home knowing God personally today. Song leader, would you come and lead us in all three verses? I'm going to be here. If you need to come to the altar, let God have his way today. Shall we stand, please? Not too slow.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today.
Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray.
Are there things in your life?
See if there be.
Would you surrender them to God? This psalm is a strong psalm, and I can't help but feel that God has been searching hearts this morning. That's a wonderful thing for God to put his finger on my heart. Let God search and change you. Would you come on this last verse? If God's speaking to your heart, shall we sing it together?
Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill all my heart with thy great love divine.
Do you need to come?
I now surrender, Lord, in me.
Let's sing that first verse one more time.
Search me, O God.
Let's stay standing together. Lord, I pray that you would be with these scriptures that have been rehearsed and preached this morning, that they would go with us in our hearts. And Lord, help us to live in the reality of your presence. Help us to understand it. Let it convict us. Let us comfort us, whichever way it needs. And Father, I pray that you would do a good work in our congregation, as I know you want to. Lord, pull down the barriers. Pull down our calluses. Help us to really relax into your hand and let you have your way. In Jesus' name,